This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Shaking in your neck of the woods. I bet you're talking about the heat or you're complaining about the price at the pumps. In the last month, you're paying about 20 cents more. Yikes. You start to feel it. It starts to add up when you drive around a lot, and especially when you're used to it being much lower, much lower. There are some wonderful things happening across the country, believe it or not, and then there are things that just make you shake your head. I mean, just absolutely some really shocking things. Let's start with what I call the dollars and cents of it all. And, you know, we were talking about recession. When's the dreaded R word? When's that going to happen? That was everything in the beginning of the year. Remember it? I think I said that word too many times. Although, I know after we visited with several economists and I talked to people in different industries that they felt there was a good chance we could beat it back or it wouldn't be quite as bad as the doom and gloom that was predicted. Well, here's some things that are happening. One, there's been the downgrade of the Fitch has downgraded the long-term rating for the U.S. And what does that mean and what does that do? It means that stocks, because the stock market controls so much, right, negative news. So stocks went into sell-off mode, which means people grab some money and ran. So the Fitch rating cut the long-term foreign currency issuer default rating for the U.S. to AA+ from AAA, which AAA is the best, right? And the reason they did that is they said expected fiscal deterioration over the next 3 years. So the last time the U.S. got this kind of a downgrade to explain from a major ratings agency was back in 2011 when Standard & Poor's cut the rating from AAA to AA+, right? So that's why it was jittery a little on the stock market. But you look at the economy and there still are signs of resilience, and the conditions now are different from 2011. They're much different than 2011. So I still remain steadfast that the big R word is not smashing us. I mean, we're feeling things. We're feeling grocery prices. We're feeling the price at the pumps, you know, slide up a little bit more. Absolutely. And, you know, you look at the debt and you look at $25 trillion, the treasury market. I mean, that's where the spotlight is really, really bright. $25 trillion. So then we see what happens with this credit rating. But I think you look in the trenches, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening with you, with me, with wherever you're listening to us, and what's happening in your life, in your wallet. And that's where you mix that all in the middle. And, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, we certainly know that people are still buying things. They still are out there spending their money on what they want to do. So, for example, because we just had a couple of big movies that were out in the movie theaters, that are still out in the movie theaters, Hollywood, while it's on strike, has had its best week in forever at the box office. Because people want to escape, you know, people want to go and watch and see and kick back. So then you look at that, and that tells you something. That tells you that okay, yeah, it might be we have things a little tight, but we gotta live, and we're gonna figure out how we're gonna do that. And if it's go to the movies, we're gonna figure out how to make that happen. All right. In the meantime, speaking of making things happen with money, maybe it's just a couple of dollars, but you may plunk down a couple of dollars on that chance, the once in a lifetime chance for the Willy Wonka ticket, I call it, the golden ticket. Mega Millions jackpot will be the fourth largest in history. It's well past $1 billion. That happens on Friday because nobody won on Tuesday. So because there was no winner, then that turns over and becomes that much larger. I would love it if someone who never played the lottery just was described by neighbors as the kindest, greatest person won that lottery and then dispersed it to lots of other people. And, of course, I feel like money flows through your fingers when you hold it tight. I think if you won an astronomical amount of money, probably you would figure out ways you could share it, because how could you possibly spend it all? But that's a moonshot. That's not normal. That wouldn't be normal for any of us to have that kind of money, hit that unbelievable number. Here's something that we're all dealing with. This is what we're all dealing with. If you've ever had to change a light bulb, I just had to deal with this, being in a new place still, relatively so. You look at the incandescent light bulb, that ban. Remember that whole ban, the conversation about it, and there was even bipartisan conversation about it. It pretty much is out. And that all started with President George W. Bush back in 2007. It was the Energy Independence and Security Act, which didn't outright ban incandescent bulbs, but it called for household light bulbs to have about 25% greater efficiency, right? And then there were a bunch of other regulations that were added to the act that would phase it out. So when you go to Home Depot, when you go to Lowe's, when you go to wherever you go, which you can get light bulbs in a lot of places, what kind of light bulbs are you getting? And the answer is you're not getting the incandescent light bulbs, right? Because it's really hard to find them. You know, they're not all banned, but it's so, and some are still manufactured, but it's still really, really tough to find some. You know, it really is. Like black light lamps, they're not completely banned, so you can still find them. Marine lamps, same thing. I thought this was interesting when I went through the list. Traffic signals, right? Hey, traffic signals. Bug lamps, all of that. They're not banned under what is now like the new rule. And it took me, I have to admit, it took me a long time to get used to new light bulbs. And half the time I couldn't remember what LED bulb I had. Did this happen to you? And I had different bulbs that did not match each other. And it was it's very odd how that light comes through as a result of it. All right, coming up next, we're hitting the man cave.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Women in the man cave, and that would be the United States women's soccer team. Got to tell you this story. There's one of the commentators. Her name is Carly Lloyd. She was part of the U.S. women's soccer team, and she was a star with the U.S. women's soccer team when they won a couple of their World Cups, and now she commentates, and she's on the Fox set during the halftime and in the beginning, setting up the matches, and at the end, she's one of four different people that are on the set. There are three former players, including Alexi Lawless, who's part of the men's team in so many years, and he's such a great athlete. We've had him on the show, and then a Fox commentator. But she's been very harsh in her criticisms, so it kind of makes for saucy TV. And maybe it's made it interesting to some people. So she's a former team captain, and now she's with Fox Sports. And she just rips the head off the U.S. women. She questions how prepared they are, also their passion, saying that the U.S. women's national team isn't committed to winning. So the current captain, Lindsey Horan, who is a great player, who ended up scoring the goal that, thank goodness, ended in a 1-1 tie with the Netherlands, which kept them in the hunt for the World Cup, was asked about Lloyd's comments. And she said, I always want to defend my team and say, you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. You have no idea. Every single training, what we're doing individually, collectively, for anyone to question our mentality, hey, it hurts a bit, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I don't really care. It's what's going on inside of here, what's going on inside of the team. Carly Lloyd has never had a problem in being critical. In fact, on the set, she said the first time when she talked about the U.S. women, she said, I'm going to go a little Jersey on you, and she's ripped them for a lot of different things, even for taking selfies with fans and dancing on the field after they barely squeaked through the round of 16 with a scoreless draw over Portugal, saying winning and training and doing all that you can do to be the best individual player, that's not happening. So the bottom line is this, USA, USA, right? I mean, look, if you have any USA pride, you want the women to win. If they win, it would be three consecutive World Cup titles. And it would be the first time, people, men or women, for that to happen. But they definitely have not looked like a contender. They definitely, definitely have not. It is frustrating to watch because you think they have such quality talent, and they played a team like Portugal, which had a lot of heart, and this was the first time they were competing in the World Cup, and it sure didn't look like it. They didn't get the scoring opportunities. Is it that many other teams are that much better? Is it that they're not in sync? Is it the game plan? Is it, what is it? What is it? What's happening here? And will they get through Sweden? That's the next thing. Sweden, the game is 4 a.m. Eastern on Saturday morning. So, yeah, good luck with that. It might be that you record it or find out afterwards what happens. But it seriously would be a big damn deal if they won three World Cups, and it's really scary. Sweden is a good team, and it definitely, I agree with Carly Lloyd, not being there, not being in the locker room, to say they're not practicing or not putting everything into it. I mean, I get why that would be stingy and why there would be some comments back on that, but that's what she feels like she's seeing from them, and it's definitely not the team that many of us thought was going to be fielded. And like I said, is it that the competition is that much better, that everybody's gotten that much better, or what is it that's led to we're not seeing what we expect to be seeing? I guess that's the answer, especially now, because it's great, finally there's better pay, there's more things that have happened for the team, there's more recognition of it. There's a lot of not just women, men, kids watching, people paying attention to what's happening here, which is a very tough thing in a sport that they weren't, you know, getting the pay that they should be getting. And now they are getting that pay. Absolutely. For sure. All right. Let's jump around to something else, because there's a lot of things we could talk about, obviously, every time we jump into the man cave. I know a lot of you are focusing, and I am too, on football. Somebody just asked me this the other day. I was on CGTV, Global Television Network, and they asked me about my favorite sport, and they asked me about the U.S. women, and they asked me about soccer and all of that, but also my big go-to sport, and it's football. It's pro football and college football. I just love watching both, and having done things with CBS and NBC and for a big station in Dallas and New York, there was so much focus on that, obviously, too. So here's something that's interesting. We're going to go through the training camps, and some people are there may be some incredible finds that happen. There's going to be the cuts that get made on all, with all these football teams. There's some obvious, you know, obvious superstars and obvious players intact that aren't going anywhere no matter what. But there's always little rule shifts too that can make a difference. So the NFL is considering XFL kickoffs as a model for future role changes, because kickoffs are going to look differently in the NFL this season. The league is temporarily implementing fair catch rules that were first seen in college football, right? Meaning that they can, right now, NFL teams kick off from their own 35-yard line, and kicking team players can begin running from that line only after the ball has been kicked. In the XFL, kickoffs happen at the 30-yard line with players other than the kicker lined up at the receiving team's 35. Only the kicker and returner can move before the ball is touched by the returner. So the NFL is exploring what's happening with the XFL and their data. And the really push for it is to reduce the potential for concussions by shrinking the distance between opposing players, because the XFL rule leaves only 5 yards of space for players to cover before contact, so they don't get at top speeds. That makes sense, right? So will they really enact this change? They haven't really had these discussions with the NFL owners, but they would prefer to reduce problems. So there is going to be some pushback, I would imagine, from this, but there could be an implementation here. It's something that we're seeing with the Spring League. It could be something that is influencing what happens in the NFL. I mean, reducing the concussions or top speeds, it makes sense to me, right? To me, there's nothing better than having somebody who can return a kickoff all the way. Of course, if you're the other team, it's not a great thing to see, but it's an exciting thing to see, I think, in football, absolutely. All right, something else that's going on in the NFL is the story about the Jets and the Broncos, that they could be the first flex game of the 2023 season because of Sean Payton's comments. So initially it was just another game on the schedule, week 5. The Jets visit Denver, right? But now there's been more back and forth trash talking between the clubs, and it started with the Broncos coach Sean Payton because of the drama between the two teams. So now they're talking about making it the flex game. And week 5 is the first time Sunday night that games can be flexed. So the Jets-Broncos game that's at 4:25 Eastern could be moved to prime time. But then the Cowboys and the 49ers would be out of the Sunday night slot. And because of that history, I don't know. So there is conversation about doing that. And it's interesting because Sean Payton, in some criticism, said everybody's got a little stink on their hands. It's not just Russell. It's a poor offensive line. It might have been one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. That's how bad it was. That's what he was talking about when he was talking about the Broncos. I'm thinking it's going to be the night game. Trash talking wins. That's it for the Man Cave. Hang with us. A couple of great authors coming up, including Helen Payne next.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Washington, D.C. Metro Police say no shooter was found at the Senate office building this afternoon. U.S. Capitol Police began evacuating the building after officials said they received what they called a concerning 911 call. Metro Police say it appears to have been a bad call and there were no injuries and no shooter located. Former President Trump scheduled to be arraigned tomorrow on four counts related to his alleged efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6, 2021 was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies.
Special Counsel Jack Smith said his office is ready to have all the evidence tested in a court of law. A variety of reasons are being blamed for the spike in U.S. gas prices. AAA says there are two main ones: global supply being constrained after OPEC nations cut production, and the summer's record heat. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. You, the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well,
you see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I'm thrilled to introduce you to our next guest. Her name is Helen Payne. She joins us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, to talk about her mother's book that she and her sister, Janet Ann Goldman, pulled together after her death. It was a book their mother, Winifred Millicent Hardy, wrote. So can you just imagine what that kind of a project would be like? And the book is called A Curlew Cried, and it's all about her life. It's coming to Australia, and it's fascinating. So thank you so much for joining us, Helen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it very much.
What made you and your sister decide that you were going to publish the manuscript that you found, and what was it like when you found the manuscript so many decades later?
Finding the manuscript was amazing. It was in my filing cabinet and had been there, sitting there for probably 20 years. I got it out and I started to look at it and I thought, I would really love to have this in a book form. I really want to publish this book. And I spoke to my husband about it and he said, well, let's do it. Let's publish it. And I phoned my sister, and as she owns half the manuscript, to get her permission. And we both thought, yeah, let's do this. Let's go ahead and publish this book as a tribute to our mother.
Yeah, and you get the, you know, you pull the book together, and you're learning things you didn't know about your mother. What was the most surprising thing, I guess, that you learned about your mother that you didn't know?
Oh, I think the on her birth certificate, she has a different name to what she really was. We learnt that she was illegitimate, not that it bothered us at all when we found out. She never told us anything. The only thing we ever knew was that she was an orphan, basically, at 14, 15 months of age, because her mother died very young. That's about all we know. We're learning things every day, and through reading the book, we have now sort of realised what she was trying to tell us and couldn't. Because she would have been sworn to secrecy in those days.
Yeah. And what's also so interesting, and you said to me off the air for everybody listening, that you laughed, you cried, and it just took you back in time, because we're talking about coming to Australia and farming in Australia when? A long time ago.
Oh, look, it was, yes, in the, I think, 1911 they came out here, and none of them knew anything about farming, basically, and they came out from England and got this farm in the middle of nowhere, and I can honestly say it was in those days, in the middle of nowhere, and decided to become farmers. And they did, and they were the pioneers of that time. They had struggles. They struggled through, like, droughts and floods and then the First World War. And my, well, in the novel, if people read it, I'm sure they will have the best laugh. And they will cry as well.
Yeah, and in the book, too, if you kind of think of it as the way I like to say, it's like teasing the book like a movie trailer. You know, in this book, it's what you say, the sadness, the anger, and it makes people want to finish this book. And it is about the children. It is about coming from England to this remote village, right?
Yes. Well, a town, as a town we call it. Yes, coming to this remote place, which, you know, because they came to Perth, which is our capital, and from there got on a train and got this farm. And they had it for a long, long time and made the best out of a bad situation. But at least they could own that property. And the girls in the family supported the men and worked as hard as the men.
In the book and in the manuscript, which then became the book, and again, the name of the book is A Curlew Cried. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What did your mother describe life like as far as the farming and what it was like to be in that family?
She absolutely loved farming. She loved horses. She loved her grandmother very, very much, because her grandmother brought her up practically, and she just loved the great outdoors. She loved the smell of the bush. She just loved Australia very, very much, and she worked hard all her life, and unfortunately she never got to see her work published, and I wish she had, because that makes me sad, but I'm happy that it is now published and people can have a good read, have a good laugh. Let me know. I'd love to know what people think of it.
And can you remember, this just popped in my head, but thinking of your mother writing this, I mean, how amazing that she took the time and she did it. But do you remember her writing it? Is there anything you can remember about her doing that?
I do, and I can remember her writing it in longhand in books when I was a teenager. Now, I'm 64, so that's going back a long, long time.
You're not that old. So, yeah, so you can remember the longhand. You can remember her sitting there just writing it out.
Yes, yes. When she had time, she'd open it up and she'd write whatever she was writing. And, of course, as a 14-year-old or whatever, I wasn't in the slightest bit interested what she was doing. And when she finished it, she asked my sister to type it. My sister was a typist. And I can remember Janet sitting there with this old-fashioned typewriter typing this manuscript. And I don't know what happened. It got finished, and then nothing happened with it, and they shoved it in a bag. And when Mum got ill, she came to live with us. And, of course, everything came with her that she had. And I just must have put it in the filing cabinet and forgot about it. And it was only through sheer luck that I found it, and we got it published.
Wow, I get chills, and for people in the audience, I think you can relate to this. Can you just imagine, it's like people talk about going through Helen attics and finding surprises that they, from their family, from their grandmother, from their mother, and you found the biggest surprise of all. To be able to sit there and read her words, that must have been something else.
I'm sorry?
To read those words, it must have been just something else to be able to sit there, get that manuscript, and then go through it, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was. It was wonderful. From the minute I sort of looked at it and started to read it, I was fascinated. And, of course, all the pages had sort of been mixed up, so I had to go through all the pages and put them back together again and whatever. But I couldn't put it down, and I was absolutely fascinated. And everything sort of came together then for me that this is what Mum was trying to tell us, but she couldn't, because she would have been sworn to secrecy that she was illegitimate. And she couldn't even tell her own daughters. And I think that's the saddest part. That's very sad. I mean, there's obviously a lot of fiction in it as well. But most of the characters, I suppose, when Mum wrote it, they were still alive, so she couldn't put them down. But, you know, all the boys that went to war, they were true. That was true. And I think people will love it, actually. I really hope they do, because everyone I know who has read it has loved it and said, where's the sequel? We need a sequel.
You might have to write a sequel, you and your sister.
Well, my sister's a very good writer. I'm not. I could probably help her out.
When people read A Curlew Cried, what do you hope they take away from reading your mother's book?
Well, I hope they take away, I like them to feel they have read a good book, to feel emotions like laughter, sadness, anger, and to finish it saying they want more. This story of Isabel and Bill Elgin and their children coming from England to take up a farm in a remote wheat belt town of Western Australia is just a wonderful book, a historical novel, which I hope people will read. Your viewers will give them an insight into what Australia was like during that time. It was hard.
Yeah, it was definitely hard, but there was definitely fun and sad and truthful moments in it. There's no question about it.
Yes.
Helen Payne, thank you so much. A Curlew Cried. Pick this book up. Thank you.
Thank you. And a curlew is a bird that used to be in the wheat belt. And I'd love a feedback. If people read it, I would absolutely love them to contact me and let me know what they think.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Is in our virtual green room. His book is called Shot in the Mouth and Still Preaching. Wait till you hear his story. Thanks so much for coming on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Tom, appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good being on.
So let's talk about Shot in the Mouth, that part of it. You told me, I mean, here you were, such a young guy, and thanks for your service, but you were in Vietnam, and you talk about your first mission and what happened. Tell us about what happened to you in Vietnam.
Well, I just turned 18 years old when I went to Vietnam, and in fact, one of my nicknames there was, it was called Kid, just because I was so young, And we just went in this one outfit, and they needed some guys, and so they lined us up, and I was a tank driver, and that's what I was trained for. But they needed guys, so we ended up being an infantryman. And then they, for some reason, looked at me and said that you're going to carry the radio. I had no clue what that meant, and I found out later on it was about a 45-pound thing you put on your back, and then found out later on, not when I was there, but later on, that that's one of the most dangerous jobs to have, because that's what they shoot at first. They see an antenna sticking up. And so we went on our first mission. Didn't get any problems with the first mission. It was later on when we started really getting the firefight. And then back in there, because I went there in November and February, we were chasing these one Vietnam, and we didn't realize that we was going into a horseshoe trap. And this was February 14th, Valentine's Day. And we lost them. We stopped. I leaned my radio up against a tree, which I usually do because it's heavy. and I heard a zing zing going by me, and instead of having my human instinct, which I did, instead of having my army instinct, I didn't fall. I just turned around and looked, and then one of them around hit the ground, bounced up, went into my jaw, lodged it in my cheekbone, and I ended up losing about 30% of my jaw and about 9 teeth. And it spun me. Well, they kept shooting because they hit the radio, so it spun me completely around. And instead of leaning up against the tree with my back, I was on the ground looking at it eyeball to eyeball, and I kind of went in some sort of shock. I mean, it never passed out, but I heard that people, all my guys around me, yelling for medic, and I didn't know who was hit. And I kind of rubbed my cheek and my chin, and I looked, and I seen the blood, and I said, oh, man, it must be me. And so I started yelling, and then, of course, when I yelled, I loosened the bullet came out, the teeth and all that stuff came out, and I had the bullet in my head for a while, but then my medic came and wrapped my head up, My first question was before I started swelling and couldn't talk because I was engaged to my wife, and I said, am I going to still be able to kiss Sandy when this is all done? And he kind of laughed. He said, yeah, you will. I said, okay, but I thought he was lying because I thought I was a mess. And so he wrapped me up, and then we couldn't get out because there was so much firefight going on, so we had to wait there the whole night, and we got out the next morning and ended up going to the hospital then.
Wow, so you go through that, you know, you're in Vietnam, you come back, and you're a pastor, and you realize that you have to have a sense of humor to get through life because of the things that happen, just like what happened to you.
Because as a result of that, it changed my whole speech. I stutter now. I have a hard time pronouncing words, and so, you know, yeah, of all things for me to get into, being a speaker, which is absolutely berserk. But yeah, my there's no question. My strange sense of humor got me through all that. Even when I was in the hospital, I thought my mom and dad heard about me getting hit, and so I wrote them a letter about these red ants. They have red ants over there. I call them vampire ants. They walk up your arm and sting you and bite you in the neck and fat. So I wrote a comic thing about that. I just said, I had 100,000 red ants attack me, and one of them had a gun and shot me in the mouth, and I'm just carrying on, thinking they already heard. I'm just trying to lighten the load for them. But when they got the letter, the Red Cross somehow got mixed up. They didn't know I was hit. So they were reading this letter, and then they said, oh, what are Tom's talking about? And then my dad seen the letterhead, which was Long Bend Hospital, and they said, well, you know what? I think he is hit. So they contacted the Red Cross, and they found out, yeah, I did get hit, you know, and so. But yeah, my sense of humor is I still have it. I'm so positive. I enjoy life, and I just don't let anything get me down.
And do you think that's what's made you enjoy your life, get through life, be able to help others? Because it's not just what happened to you in Vietnam, but you talk about a heart attack, you talk about prostate cancer, and things that touch lots of people's lives.
Yeah, definitely. That was just in the last 8, 9, 10 months. I had prostate cancer, went to radiation, and then about 3 months after that, I had a heart attack and I had a couple stents in my one artery. It was 99% blocked, and I got a little small one, about 50%. But yeah, I read a small book a long time ago. I mean, a long time ago, and it was just titled "Happiness is a Choice," and it's true. I'm not belittling people that have problems and how they get through them and then maybe not get through them, but I've just chose, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm not going to let that get me down because, I mean, I'm going to choose that. I mean, you know, no matter what. I mean, and so that's kind of how I live. I thought of that when I was a young age.
So tell us, Tom, what people can expect in the book.
Well, a friend of mine is in Michigan, and he just begged me to write a book, and because he knows, and I've known him for 20 years, he knows all my stories, and I talk about all we talk about, it, and he's interested in all that, and he just said, he just begged me to write this book, and I said, I don't want to write a book, I don't know how I even just started it, and so the last time I talked to him on the phone, he convinced me, I said, okay, I'll write it, what do I do? So we come up with a cover, a picture of me with my radio on, you know, an 18-year-old in the barracks, and then we come up with a, you know, to get their attention, go right into your first mission to Vietnam. So I did that, and then I just went back and forth to my home life, and just went back and forth, and just the unbelievable thing about this, a month later, after I agreed to the charity that I would do this, he passed away, 59 years old with COVID, and so I just felt really. I had to do this now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anybody can get from heaven down to earth and haunt you, because I think Carrie would do that if I didn't write this book. So I was on pressure. I was pressured to do it. So I did that. I did it because of, that's why I dedicated the book to him, because, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even wrote it. And I hand wrote it each chapter at a time. I'd read it to my wife, which was the woman I talked about. If I'm ever going to kiss again, well, she's my wife now. We've been married 54 years. And so, and I'm still kissing her. I just hand wrote each chapter. She would listen to it. And then once I did that, I typed it into the computer and, looked for a publisher. And the rest is where we're at now.
What was the most challenging thing, I guess, about writing this book?
Probably just bringing up some things I haven't thought about for a while. When I would be writing it and then reading it to Sandy, my wife, I mean, there's times where I would just cry because it just brought some things up, what affected me and things like that. So I think those things and really wanting to make it, when I really started getting into the book, I really wanted to make it a real, and that's who I am anyway, a positive book, but I also wanted it to be a book that's going to help maybe another veteran, or not even a veteran, but someone that's going through a crisis in life that just can't get over it. Hopefully it'll be a benefit for them. And then people to see my transformation of my life, of being a non-Christian to a Christian, because it did take place. And then all of a sudden I got going, I'm in Bible college and I'm thinking, what am I doing? And so I was in ministry 40 years before I retired about a year or so ago.
Wow. And we're speaking with Tom Williams. His book is Shot in the Mouth and Still Preaching. Did it feel good? Because you think of your friend, what happened, his encouragement, and then the book comes out and you actually see the book and your wife had helped you, put this together. What was that feeling like when you saw it?
When the first copy came to our house, I cried like a baby. I could not believe it. I mean, because anybody knows me, I'm just a real calm kind of person, and to be able to do this, and even on when I'm talking to you now, it's just overwhelming for me. I mean, because it's overwhelming. And yeah, I couldn't believe it when I got the copy in my hand and I looked at Sandy and my wife and said, "Look at this. This really happened." I mean, and so it's just incredible. It's encouraging me that the number of copies has been sold, and people that from our church and my friends and wherever are buying it and giving it for gifts. And I mean, it's very, very, very humbling to me. God gets all the credit, because I mean, it's just so humbling to me that what's going on here.
Yeah, could you have ever imagined that, being a young teenager walking in the jungles of Vietnam and then what happened to you to come full circle the way that you have?
Well, I say, my English teacher in high school is rolling over a grave saying, "Tom Williams wrote a book. I barely got through English class." And I mean, are you kidding me? Yeah, so yeah, it is overwhelming. I mean, it's just, it really, really is. I know some people think I'm trying to be humble, Bob, but I very am humble, because it's wild to me.
Yeah, it's good. I love the cover. It's so inspiring. Your story is so inspiring. Shot in the Mouth and Still Preaching, Tom Williams. Pick it up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Tom, thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate this. I really do.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney. @KateSDelaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.